Our program consisted this morning of four portraits or suites, each part focusing on one aspect of the Christmas message. We've sung about how people expected the Messiah to come, how the angels announced his birth, how Jesus was born, and then how people rejoiced in response to Jesus' birth. We have expectation, announcement, birth, and response. And this morning I want to focus just for a few minutes on the response to this great message. The last song finished with the words, "Let us all rejoice and sing, for Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born." Most of the carols that we sing in this Christmas season, at least the religious carols or the traditional carols, of course, have something to do with Jesus' birth. Following the biblical pattern, we see three entirely appropriate responses to Jesus' birth. There's celebration, there's adoration, and there is proclamation. We should follow this pattern and make sure that these elements are part of our Christmas experience this year. Let's look first of all then at celebration. We find several of the biblical characters celebrating Jesus' birth. Mary, you may remember, at the coming of the angel, when she understood that she would be the mother of the Messiah, was very surprised. And later on, she went to visit her cousin or her relative, Elizabeth. And here's what she said. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." So Mary rejoiced at the news that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She's clearly rejoicing over the good news that the Messiah would come through her. Imagine her delight, imagine her rejoicing then when Jesus was actually born. And so I think we can say that Mary rejoiced, or she celebrated, the news of Jesus' birth and then, of course, his birth. The angels certainly rejoiced when they conveyed the message of Jesus' birth. Luke 2:10, the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The announcement of Jesus' birth was a cause of great joy. Good news of great joy is a cause for celebration. And immediately after the announcement, that one angel showing up and announcing the birth, then it says the whole heaven was lit with this heavenly host of angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So this is the first lighting display, I suppose you could say, that these people had ever seen. There were obviously no electric lights. The only lights that they probably knew in the nighttime were small fires or maybe a torch or maybe a lamp. But at this time, the whole heaven was lit up with this angelic host. And so they were rejoicing at the news of Jesus' birth. The shepherds also celebrated. Before the angels had arrived, the shepherds were out there watching their flocks, basically doing whatever they were doing on a normal basis, minding their own business. And then the angel arrived and gave them the good news. And upon hearing this good news, they immediately decided to go to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. And they found Jesus and his parents as the angels had said. The angels returned, it says, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So were the shepherds celebrating? Well, they were rejoicing. They were praising God. So I think, yes, they heard that news. These were Jewish shepherds, probably watching some of these sheep that would be used in the sacrificial system in the temple. So they understood the background. They were looking for the Messiah. When the angels appeared, they certainly rejoiced at the news of the coming of the Messiah. The Magi also celebrated. The wise men celebrated. Now we know, according to the details of the story, that the wise men showed up sometime later. It doesn't say exactly when they showed up, but oftentimes when we see the manger scenes, we see the Magi or the wise men there as well. That's probably a little bit inaccurate because we know that by the time that the Magi arrived, it says that they found Jesus and Mary and Joseph in a house. So they probably arrived sometime later. But it does say that the wise men saw the star guiding their way to Jesus, and it says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they celebrated, you might say. When the wise men then showed up to find Jesus, they gave Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so this idea of giving gifts in celebration of somebody's birth is certainly biblical. So I think after traveling close to 1,000 miles, these wise men finally seeing that star or following that star all the way to Bethlehem, seeing Jesus in the house sometime after his birth, I think was definitely a cause of celebration. The message of Christmas is good tidings of great joy. God is with us. Christ the Savior is born. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And in response, we ought to rejoice and sing as our Christmas carols and as the Bible says. I suppose that most of us will be celebrating over the next couple of days. And I think it's important we make Jesus the center of our celebration. Does everybody in your household know why you're celebrating? You may be surprised that there are many, many people, maybe not so much in your family, but people in the world today who have no idea or who have very, very basic idea about what Christmas is really all about. They may understand some of the mythology, some of the legendary things that have crept into the Christmas season, but they probably don't understand the true gospel presentation or a true gospel understanding. And so as we celebrate, we ought to especially let our children know that we are exchanging gifts and we're celebrating and we have all the trappings of Christmas, ultimately because of Jesus. This is all because of Jesus. And so I hope that in your celebrations, you don't focus so much on the Christmas tree and the trappings of Christmas and the giving of gifts and the gathering of friends and family, that you forget the real reason that you're doing all of this. Everything ought to be centered around Jesus. Don't leave Christ out of Christmas. Make sure that he is the real center of your Christmas celebration. Secondly, after celebration is adoration. We might say worship. The people not only celebrated and rejoiced, glorified God, they also adored or they gave worship and adoration toward the Lord. Mary said in Luke chapter 1, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." The word magnify literally means to make great, to esteem highly, to celebrate or extol or laud or glorify or praise. So clearly she is giving the glory to God. My soul magnifies the Lord, gives glory to God, rejoices, and lifts up the Lord in praise. Luke 2 says, "The multitude of the heavenly host said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So the angels obviously are bringing glory to God through this. They're worshiping the Lord. The shepherds returned in Luke 2:20, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen as it was told them. So they are bringing glory and adoration to God. And then the wise men in Matthew 2:11, when the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Now, it's interesting when the other characters, Mary and the shepherds and the angels, they glorify God. But here it says that the wise men fell down and worshiped Jesus. Now, everybody would know that that would be idolatrous. That would be blasphemous to fall down and worship anybody who is a mere human. But the fact that they did this and that it was appropriate for them to fall down and worship Jesus shows that Jesus is not a mere human. He is God in the flesh. He is the Word made flesh. He is equally divine. He shares in the divine nature with God the Father. And so as they worship and praise, as they worship the Son of God, that little baby in the house at that time, they're doing something entirely appropriate. They're worshiping the Lord. Well, how do we worship the Lord during the Christmas season? Well, we're here today, so this is part of our worship. Of course, it's a regular Sunday, and I hope that we would be in church on Sunday anyway. But we ought to do things to show our worship and adoration and praise toward God during the Christmas season. Perhaps we have a special devotional time at home. My wife found a devotional, kind of an Advent calendar, and for every day in December, we've looked at different names for Jesus. So we focused our entire December during our family devotion time on learning the names of Jesus and hopefully giving worship and praise to God for Jesus by virtue of his names. Well, I know that December is just about done now, but there should be some aspect of worship in our Christmas celebration. We do that, of course, when we come to church and worship with other believers in the congregation, but we ought to make worship a part of our family celebration as well. Maybe you can pray. Pray is an aspect of worship. Maybe you can read the Christmas story from the book of Luke. David read part of that this morning, and it would be a great thing as you're gathered around with your family and friends, maybe as you are passing out the presents or whatever you're doing, to read the Christmas story, to say a few words about this is what it's all about, and to offer a word of thanks and praise and thanksgiving for who Jesus is and what he did, to make worship or expressions of worship a part of your regular Christmas celebration. Sometimes we get involved with the packages and the presents, and we get involved with the food and the people that are around, and we virtually forget to bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus, who should be the center of the season. So let's make sure that praise and adoration is a significant part of our Christmas celebration. And then thirdly is proclamation. Proclamation. A third response is to tell others about Jesus. You may remember that Mary went to visit Elizabeth several months before Elizabeth gave birth. And Elizabeth, of course, was the mother of John the Baptist. She was the relative of Mary. And when Mary arrived, Elizabeth, it says, spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Somehow, God had communicated to Elizabeth that Mary was the mother of her Savior. And Mary responded with what we call the Magnificat. This is how Mary responded. She said, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." So Mary and Elizabeth then talk a little bit about the fact that Mary is the mother of the Messiah, and they express or they proclaim the good news, I guess, at least to one another about how Mary is going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, of course, we have this recorded in the book of Luke for us. Probably, most scholars think that Luke got this message directly from Mary. Mary is the one who told Luke the details here. Christians, as it's been recorded in the book of Luke, have had this proclamation from Mary for the last close to 2,000 years. And so the message goes out. It still goes out. It goes out every time somebody reads this passage from the book of Luke. The angels also proclaimed the good news to Mary and to Joseph and the shepherds. These, again, were good tidings of great joy, good news. The shepherds, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child. So the shepherds are out there as they're walking back to their flocks. I'm sure that evening were discussing it among themselves. And then probably the next day, as they went about their business, they were telling other people, "You would never guess what happened to us last night. As we were up on the hills watching the flocks, minding our own business, we saw these angels. They told us to go to Bethlehem to see the newborn king." And so they told this message. They proclaimed this message widely. And then a little bit later, about 8 days after Jesus was born, the Bible says that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple. And as they were at the temple, there are two people, two characters that they encounter there, a man named Simeon and an older woman named Anna. And the Lord had somehow communicated to them that Jesus was the Messiah. And here's what it says in Luke chapter 2:38. "Anna gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." And so these characters and others show us the importance of telling other people the good news about Jesus. Christmas, I think, presents a wonderful opportunity for us to tell others about the birth of Jesus and what it means to us. I think it's easy to start conversations about Christmas. What are you doing for Christmas? What is your family tradition regarding Christmas? Do you go to any church services and worship at Christmas time? Some people are Christmas and Easter Christians, so-called Christians, who go to church only a couple of times a year, and it tends to be around Christmas time when they do that. And so you can invite people to church or invite people to, you know, participate in your celebrations. But it's easy, I think, to start conversations and talk with people about the Lord at Christmas time because it's so natural. Do you understand what the meaning of Christmas is? Do you understand why we are celebrating? Do you know the importance of Jesus' birth? Why do we celebrate his birth? What's so important about Jesus that we would celebrate his birth? So I think it lends itself to opportunities to speak to others. And there are other ways that we can do that as well. I don't know if we do it every year, but every so often, most years, I guess, we put together a Christmas card that we send out to friends and family. And then along with that, we often send a Christmas letter. And in that Christmas letter, Maya, she's the one who does all this. She puts together a paragraph saying something about the reason for Christmas, that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And we do that because of who he is and what he did for us. And so there's a little paragraph in there giving a very short kind of a gospel presentation. So we, of course, send that out to friends and family. Maya, puts together a plate of cookies that we actually, including myself, we distribute to some of our friends and neighbors right around the neighborhood. And in that is the Christmas letter, and in that letter is the gospel presentation. So Christmas is a wonderful time to try to get the message out there. This is good news, good tidings of great joy. We ought not to be silent about the gospel message. This is a wonderful time. People are already thinking about the season. They may be contemplating who Jesus is and why we would celebrate his birth. And so there's opportunities there to talk to other people about the gospel and help them to understand the importance of Christmas. Well, if we want to follow the biblical pattern, Christmas will for us be a time of celebration, adoration, and proclamation. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. We worship him for who he is and what he did, and we tell others about Jesus. At the time of Jesus' birth, Mary, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, and Simeon and Anna all knew that the Messiah had been born, but undoubtedly they didn't understand everything that would happen. They didn't understand that Jesus would live a perfect life, die a sacrificial death, and be raised again for the salvation of his people. But we find that out as we read the Bible. The Christmas message is not only that Jesus is born, but really it includes everything that Jesus did, and especially his death for us and his resurrection. And so we become one of his people by repenting of our sins and putting our faith in Jesus, the one who died for us on the cross and rose again. And if you don't know the Lord, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, Christmas would be a wonderful time to be saved, to trust in him, to believe this good news of great joy that the angels gave to the shepherds and to others. You might be surprised to know how many people in our world today do not know that message. They perhaps have heard about the traditions and they know the mythology of the Christmas season, but they do not know the gospel. They enjoy the Christmas celebrations, but they don't know really why they celebrate. And so Christmas is a wonderful time to tell others the true reason for the season. The angel told Mary and Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sin. And that is a true cause of celebration and worship. It's entirely appropriate and suitable that we celebrate the birth of Jesus and worship him, especially at this time. And God has commissioned us to go into the entire world and preach the gospel, tell the good news to others. So let's be like the people who originally heard the good tidings of great joy. Let's celebrate, let's worship, and let's tell others the good news. Let's close in prayer.